What a privilege that I have this morning to get involved with a new teaching series for the month of July. We'll be talking about this subject, next level living. And the reason why we're doing this in our July series is because we're looking closely at the words of Jesus all month long. Everything taught and preached for the rest of this month from the pulpit will come directly from the words of Christ. And I'm very, very excited about that because, if you're going to raise up a level, it's going to be because we decide to do things the way Jesus said to do it. Okay? So we're looking closely into the words of Jesus. By the way, if you're a guest here today, we're so glad that you're here. Thank you guys so much for coming and online. Thank you so much to our online audience this morning. We're so glad that you are here as well. But how many of you love the Word of God this morning? Come on. So I'm calling it Next Level Living this month because all the words are going to come directly from Jesus because the Lord taught and demonstrated His way of living to us through His Word. And He intends for us to follow Him into a new level. Everybody say a new level. Come on. Did you know that no one is intended by God to stay the same for too long? We're all intended by the Lord to mature, to become, to grow, and really become more effective and more closely tied to our purposes for which God has created us. And so this month we're really going to just examine one essential question in all of the teaching for the rest of the month. And here is the essential question. It's just going to be this question right here. What is life supposed to look like for the believer? What's it supposed to look like for us? And as we really look into the teachings of Jesus, you'll find out that the Lord simplifies His instructions so that we can better understand it and apply it to our life. But what's it supposed to look like? You know, in the world that we live in, church, one of the primary problems facing our society is that problem of individuation. That is, people are having a hard time learning how to identify who they are and what they're designed to do and who they are designed to be. Okay, we all know people who are having that hard time. All right, it's all in the media, it's in our culture. You have people who are taking way too long to grow up, people who just can't individuate. That's why we have lots of movements where people are just taking longer and longer and longer to engage life. They're having a hard time. But this should never be true for the believer. Every day in all things, church, you and I should know who we are in Christ. And this means to function and to operate with very high levels of confidence in everything that we do. And with the security of knowing exactly who you are, exactly in whom you believe, and what life, His life, coming through your life is supposed to accomplish. That's what we're here to find out. This month, I'm here to challenge us and really look at the words of Jesus because He's got a next level for you and for your family. I'm ready to grow. How about you guys? Y'all ready to grow? Come on, everybody say, I'm ready to grow. Come on. See, when you discover what God intends for your life to look like, you can begin to make decisions with more clarity. You can be more deliberate about how you engage the world and how you will live to fulfill God's great purpose for your life. Okay? And so you're questioning who you are and really questioning where your strength and where your hope comes from. But listen, Jesus died on the cross, everybody, so that you can live every day with great levels of confidence and security, knowing that He bought your life with a price. And you are not your own, but you belong to Him. And when you belong to Him, He takes care of His own. Amen, everybody. So let's go. Let's get started with this series today in Matthew chapter number 5. And 13, we're going to read a few scriptures as a base text today. And we're answering that question, what's it supposed to look like for us as believers? Here we go. Looking at Matthew 5 and 13, Jesus teaching, He said this. He's going to begin some you are statements. And He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Verse 14 goes on. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then finally, verse 16, Jesus says it this way. He said, "Let your light so shine before men." And here's the purpose: that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Thank God. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word today. We thank you so much, God, that we have a new level, God. And I pray that you take this series, you take this message today, that you stretch us, that you challenge us, God, and that you just move into our hearts in a great big way and teach us and show us how to grow. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Perhaps you've noticed this, that the Lord has a way of breaking down truth in ways that anyone can understand it. It's what he does. His method for helping us understand is simplified in two ways. If you look closely at the Gospels, the first way is parables. Jesus taught in parables, and what that really means is he just told stories. He told stories so that people could understand what he means for them to understand. He made it simple. In fact, the word even says that the word uses simple things to confound the wise. Okay? So when you're reading the word of God, you're going to find Jesus telling lots of stories, and he intends for us to identify with those stories and those parables. But the other way in which Jesus simplifies it for us is by using metaphors. Parables and metaphors. Now, a metaphor is just a direct comparison. It's when you compare a common everyday thing to the principle that he wants us to grasp. And so in our text this morning, in the teaching, Jesus relies on two metaphors to simplify our next level lifestyle. And those two metaphors are salt and light. Everybody say it. Come on. Salt and light. First he said, you are salt. Then he said, you are light. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, here's what he said. He said, you are the salt of the earth, talking to his followers. But look what he said. He said, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In other words, Jesus is saying about us, you and I today, you are the salt of the earth. Are you? So you're salty, I guess. Hopefully we're very, very salty for God. Come on, amen. Look how simple this is. Jesus knows that everyone can identify with some salt. So he uses salt to help us understand our own usefulness. He's saying that salt is what you are, and salt has a purpose. Now, if you understand this, you understand that you've got a purpose. If you're a believer, and this series is really for discipleship purposes primarily, if you are a believer this morning, you've got a purpose. Jesus is breaking it down so simple. He's saying, you know what? You're just salt. You're the salt of the earth. And salt has got a great purpose. Just like his children, you and I, his people, we all have a great purpose to fulfill. And so as we're individuating and beginning to identify more closely with the purpose and the plan of God in our life, and as we grow, you need to understand that there are consequences to not living in your purpose. Look what Jesus said. He's using salt to help us understand our usefulness. He's saying that salt is what you are, and salt has a purpose. But if salt does not accomplish its purposes, two things begin to happen. Number one, Jesus said that salt is good for nothing. You mean Jesus would say this about the people that he loves? Yeah, he would always tell us the truth about what we need to hear. Amen. Jesus says, you know what? You are salt. You've got a purpose. And just like salt, if salt loses its flavor, if it ceases to be salty, if it doesn't accomplish the purpose, then it becomes good for nothing. Literally, church, usefulness is a very good metric for identifying your level in God. Jesus said that if you're not accomplishing something, you're good for nothing. Now, I want to just pause for a moment, make sure we're understanding this. That's what he's saying here in a metaphor. He said, if you're going to be useful and good for something, you need to have a purpose. Y'all hear me this morning? See, if you're not functioning in a purpose as a believer, the Lord here is saying, you know what? You've lost your flavor. You've ceased to be helpful. You've ceased to be useful. You've ceased to have a purpose. Now, there's some things that's going to happen in our lives, but Jesus is saying, if you're not accomplishing something, you're good for nothing. Church, hear me out on this. This is why a person who gets up every day and does nothing valuable, he or she does nothing worthwhile, begins to feel sorry and useless on the inside. That person has lost their flavor. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I have days like that. Man, I used to have them sometimes. And hardworking folks and blue-collar people know what I'm talking about. Because if you get up and you work every day and you go to bed every night with a great sense of accomplishment, you feel pretty good. But if you waste your time all day long and do nothing, man, you're going to get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're going to go to bed feeling useless. You know why? Jesus said, if you're not accomplishing something, you're useless. Can y'all receive that today, guys? I want you to understand that God has a great purpose for you. And this is why when you serve your purpose and when you wake up every day and your feet hit the floor and you say, you know what? God's got a plan for me today and I'm not going to waste my time today. I'm going to step into the purpose of God for me today. And if I don't have something to do on my agenda, I'm going to find something to do. Why? Because God intends for me to have a purpose today. He intends for me to be salty today. I'm not going to be the kind of believer that loses his flavor and denies God's purpose in my life. I'm going to be useful for God and useful for the people around me. Come on, somebody. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen. Amen. You've lost your flavor. There's no one around you feeling your presence. And that's what we all need. We all need somebody, people in our life, sensing and feeling our presence. We need to be leaving an impact, leaving a mark on people's life. And when you cease to have flavor in your life, or you're not salty anymore, or accomplishing anything, or fulfilling God's great purposes for your life, you begin to feel like you're all alone. You're not having an impact with your time, an impact with your words or your work. And the consequences, church, of losing your flavor are devastating. We're talking about next level living right now. You can't lose your flavor. It's devastating. See, if you spend, I want to make sure we're getting a hold of it. Everybody understand and follow me now? Come on, if you're getting it, say a good amen. Come on. Amen. Let's get it. I know it's training, but let's really apply this principle to our life. It's straight from Jesus. If you spend too much time not accomplishing your purpose, you will lose all of your confidence and begin to rely on other people too much for the things you need in life. It's the fruit of not getting up every day and setting your mind on God's purposes and setting out to be useful and accomplish great things that day. And if you do this for too long, your confidence will be shot. Oh, yeah. The enemy will move in and convince you that you're good for nothing, that you can't recover, that nobody loves you, nobody needs you. If you spend too much time, this will be the fruit in your life. You'll begin to see yourself as inferior, and people will begin to take advantage of you. Jesus said it like this in our text. He said, you'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. That's what he said. Did y'all read the same thing I did? He said, you better learn to tie your time your day, time your flavor. Tie it all together with a great purpose and begin to accomplish a purpose and do great things in your life. Why? Because the next step is you'll be useless and people will trample you. This is not God's plan for you or anybody else. Come on, say a good amen right there. He doesn't want you to bow down and become a receiver of whatever scraps get thrown in your way in life. He wants his children to be alive. He wants his children to be on fire with passion and with zeal and with great purpose. He wants us all to be driven to a new level every single day. That may be why the word says that he makes his mercy brand new in your life every day. It may be why it says that his goodness and his mercy are following you around all day long. Because he's got something great for you. Because you've got something to do, everybody. And that thing is supposed to leave a fragrance of Jesus Christ behind you wherever you go. And listen to me, people are supposed to know when you show up and they're supposed to know when you leave. Come on, receive it today. It's not about just trudging along and receiving all the scraps thrown at you every day. No, God's purpose and His new level for your life is a step-up purpose. Everybody say step-up right now. Come on. It's a step-up. It's a realization that, you know what, I may be spending all of my time just trying to pursue my own dreams, my own goals. But church, when you tap into the things of God and say yes to His purpose and yes to His plan for your life in a great way, Jesus' Spirit comes in and He causes you to step up and reach a brand new level. You won't be taking scraps anymore. You'll be taking up your space. And people will know that when you come on the scene, you bring power with you. You bring Jesus with you. You bring presence with you. You bring influence with you. You're going to change the atmosphere because you come into the room. Y'all ain't hear me this morning. Get a hold of it. It's a new level. They need to know when you get there. They need to know when you leave. Come on now. I found a great resource that described a few things about salt. And here's what it does. And you know, I love that Jesus simplifies it. Aren't you glad Jesus simplifies it? Three things about salt, three things that salt does. Number one, salt hinders corruption. That's why you want to take your salt and put it on your raw meat to preserve it. Salt hinders corruption. This is what it looks like when the believer remains salty in life. Okay? You know, there's corruption all around us. Did y'all know that one? Come on. There's corruption all around us. But listen, does the corruption and the darkness come up to you and invite you to take part in that corruption? Or does it hide when you come around and try to avoid you? That's what you need to understand today. That's to determine if you've gained or lost or maintained your saltiness for the Lord. Your purpose. If the corruption is coming around and it's just, it feels real comfortable because you're there and it invites you to take part, whatever corruption it is, darkness, sin, compromise, whatever it is. But if you're the kind of person who lives boldly for God and you're always on purpose for the Lord and you're pursuing His plan and living a next level lifestyle for God, that corruption will try to avoid you. It may even apologize to you. How many of y'all been there on that one? That darkness and that corruption might even do things like, uh-oh, here's somebody, here you are, here's Miss Barbara, we better step up a little bit. She's in the room. You ever had somebody come up to you and had a foul, dirty mouth? Isn't there anything more repulsive than somebody with a foul mouth? It's the most base level of communication in the world. They'll have a foul mouth, but if they know who you are, they might try not to say those things around you. And if they do, they might say, oops. Does that ever happen to y'all? Happens to me all the time. We had a guy yesterday talking to me and Karen. He said, I better not do that with the preacher around because I don't want to go to the other place. But I just looked at him. I said, that's not how you avoid it. That's not how you avoid the other place. You're not accountable to me. Come on. You're accountable to God. Amen. But how does the corruption respond to you? Does it invite you or does it repulse you? Amen. Number two thing does is this, and this is my favorite one. Salt creates thirst. It creates thirst. If you eat something really salty, it makes you thirsty. It makes you want water, you know. Okay. And so our lives, and it reminds me of the words of Jesus, our lives should be inspiring others to be thirsty for the living water. That's our presence and how we should live if you've maintained your influence. Jesus said it like this. He said to the woman at the well, if you drink this water that I give, you'll never thirst again. Of course, there he is using a metaphor again. Okay? He wasn't really talking about water. He was talking about the life change that comes from believing that the Son of God has made a change in your life and forgave your sins. When you know Him, you're changed. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. And next, number three, salt enhances flavor. Are y'all looking at these? Salt enhances flavor. It makes things better. You just can't eat too much salt, but hey, it's a metaphor, right? But it enhances the flavor. When I'm teaching church leadership, I often refer to something called the parking lot test. When we're identifying potential leaders in church and people who are ready to be developed as a leader in church, we say, well, can they pass the parking lot test? And what that really means is, how do people feel when you pull into the parking lot? Salt enhances the flavor. When you pull into the parking lot or when you come into the room, it means, how do they feel? Are they excited to see you, or are they looking around trying to find a way to avoid talking to you? Y'all know people like that. It's like, oh, thank God you're here, or uh-oh, you're here. What are we going to do? See, being salty means that people associate you and your presence, your reputation with goodness. They know that you, when you come on the scene, you bring an expectation of a better taste when you're there. It's a better atmosphere. Amen. Quickly, the other metaphor that Jesus used in this text was that of a light. He said, you're salt and you're light. Okay, next level is this, Matthew 5:14. Here's what he said. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so as we're learning this, see that Jesus gave us three of these you are statements. He's describing what his expectations are for our life. It's really your influence on three different levels. Church, let me drop this on you. Sometimes our next level in life and faith means to stop wondering what you are and just believe what Jesus said you are. Just believe him. Can we do that this morning? Just believe him. He said, number one, you are the light of the world. That's your influence all over the world. I hope that if I can get enough of us to begin to believe that God intends for you to be a great light for him everywhere you go. But also, I believe about everybody in here that your influence for God can really stretch on a global scale. You're not just the light of the room. You're the light of the whole world. I receive that in my life. I receive it over you, your family, for this church. Amen, everybody. He went on to say this. He said, you're a city on a hill. Oh, that's more local. You're a great light, not just around the world, but you're a great light locally right here in this city. He intends for us to be this way. And then finally, he said this. He said, you're a lamp in the house. You're a lamp in your own house. Matthew 5:15, he said it this way. He said, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Why? Well, here's the direct instruction from Jesus. He said, let your light shine before men. Why? The Bible said here in verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men. Here's the reason, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, I'm closing in just a moment, but watch this closely, guys. In other words, this morning, God has intention for you. Number one, God intends for people to see your life. Pastor, that makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want anybody to see. Listen, if you're a believer, he saved you for a purpose. One of my great friends always says this almost every time he preaches. He says, you're not just saved from something, you're saved to something. It's a great truth. Okay, thank God we're saved, but don't forget that you're saved for a purpose, and you're saved and you're born again and serving him. God intends for people to see your life, and two, he intends for your life to inspire others to glorify him. I want to end with a question today. As we self-evaluate and pray today and believe God together, we need to think about this. Yeah, he intends for people to see you, but he intends for people, our lives, to inspire other people to glorify him. We need to be a great light and a great witness for God in everything that we do and say. Amen, everybody. But here's the question, and I want us to look at this together. Is the light of Christ on full display in our life? Is it on full display in our life? Are we holding back? Today, I want you to be challenged by this thought, that God has got a great level for you. It involves you and I beginning to understand who we are in Christ, that our life and our salvation is for a great purpose, and that purpose is so that other people will see him and his life coming through in our life. Y'all receive it today, everybody? Come on. Come on, if you receive it, give God the best praise we can right now. Stand with me all over the house.